Joining me on the line is Advocate Eric Nkosi, Council Member of the NAC. And what we will be talking about is obviously the public release of the National Art Council Forensic Report. So I gave you a bit of an introduction, but for those of you who missed it earlier on, the National Arts Council overspent their budget by almost 200 million rands. This is what the report by Rafika Williams says on IOL. Now, a forensic report by Mazars investigating the National Arts Council has revealed serious discrepancies within the presidential employment stimulus program. And to help us understand what is actually contained within that, within that report, is none other than Advocate Eric Nkosi, Council Member of the NAC. Good evening to you, Advocate, and thank you for joining us.
Good evening, Gershel, and to the listeners at home.
Great. So I understand that the report has been made public, but maybe you can just give us the broad strokes of that. I mean, 200 million is one, it's a heck of a lot of money. I take it this money was intended for assisting artists who are, struggling to keep the lights on, to keep the water running, and to obviously feed themselves and their families, considering that we went through a horrible, and we're still going through, quite frankly, a very horrible pandemic, which has prevented many artists from being able to obviously apply their trade. So what happened here?
Thank you very much. Basically, as you would know, we have been on the news for quite some time that 300 million rand went missing from the NAC.
Mm.
And it was actually after some time that we've had complaints of maladministration, corruption, and so forth. And then we commissioned a forensic investigation by Mazars, which investigation was finalized sometime in September. And remember, on the 27th of September, the minister and the chairperson of the NAC released the summary of the report to the public, and we then undertook to come back and report to the public as to how do we go about implementing the recommendations contained in that report. Basically, the report simply says there was lack of oversight on the part of the old council, as well as the new council that came in on the 1st of January 2021. And the old council did not play the oversight role as it should have done. And secondly, in terms of the management led by the CEO, there was a lot of maladministration and financial mismanagement that has been discovered by the report. Perhaps to expand on the lack of oversight.
Yeah, please do.
The president gave NAC 300 million rand to expand to the artist. 100 million rand of which was for job retention, subsidy of salaries, and 185 million rand for new projects that would be for job creation.
Hmm.
The 15 million rand was for administration purposes that would be kept by the NAC. Then what happened, there was a call for applications, and we received applications up to the value of about 6 billion rand. And the only amount that was available for funding was 285 million rand on the dot.
Mm.
But then council went on to approve applications up to the value of 428 million rand.
Mm.
In other words, we exceeded by 143 million. Then when we came in, we discovered that about half of those that had been approved were not catered for in terms of payment. They were approved, but there was not enough money to pay them because of the oversubscription, which was not a problem. But the problem was the over-allocation of the funds, more than what we had. So then what we did, we revised the guiding figure, the amount that was initially advertised as the amount that would be the amount for funding. We revised that downwards. And when we did that, most of the artists had received their letters telling them exactly how much were they going to receive. And then we had to enter into some engagements and negotiations with them to plead with them to allow us to reduce the amount so that we can cover everybody who had been approved. Most of them, I would say about 95% of them, agreed to that. And that was done. And then we went back to say, how did this happen? And then we discovered quite a number of problematic issues. The first one, among, I'll just mention a few, applications who did not even meet the minimum requirement were approved. They found themselves going out through the process up until approval, when they did not even meet the minimum requirements. And some declined applications from the initial stages, completely declined. They found themselves at the final stage of approval, and they approved and paid. You know, and what did that do? That actually deprived the most deserving artists and those who are actually compliant from benefiting, and people who were not deserving instead benefited.
Wow.
Then the there was also an amount of 8.9 million rand that was paid as approved, but there is no track of the approvals because it's a process. It's a multi-stage process. So at the end of the day, 8.9 million rand was paid, and the CFO failed to ensure that whoever is paid, that person would have been approved through the processes that were there and the structures that were there. One other issue you relate to council, you would find that in terms of Section 11(2) of the National Arts Council Act, council members may not participate in the panels that review and approve the applications.
Okay.
The assessments now. But there were council members, about five of them or so, who sat in those panels in contravention of the National Arts Act and also in contravention of a resolution that was taken by their very own council on the 19th of September 2020. Those council members sat, and an amount of just above 500,000 rand was paid to those members for sitting in those meetings when they were not supposed to sit in those meetings. Out of those members that did that, two are remaining, are still part of the council, and they are currently being taken through a disciplinary process. Those that are no longer part of council, they're going after them to recover the money that was paid to them when they should not have participated in those panel meetings. So currently where we are, what are the consequences then? We have accepted the report, the findings as they are, and the recommendations as they are. In terms of the management, the CFO and the CEO, who are the responsibility of us as council, are currently being taken through a disciplinary process. Charges have been served. Tomorrow, the first sitting is taking place for the disciplinary processes. We believe it will not sit and finish tomorrow, but that is definitely closely monitored. We want it to be expedited. And then those employees that are the responsibility of the CEO, the interim CEO is busy with the charges. We have appointed a firm of attorneys, Helden Hayes Malachi, Incorporated, to assist with the development process. And the two council members that are still with us are also being served with charges so that they can answer to the issues raised by this investigation report. Basically, that is where we are now.
Okay. Thank you for outlining what sort of the, as you lawyers would say, the factual matrix is. You know, what are the facts that led us to this particular point? Now, the key question that I have for you is, unfortunately, within a context where we deal with a lot of maladministration, that also then links back to corruption and obviously massive fiscal losses for government in general. And this is ultimately, again, taxpayers' money that government was supposed to dispense with, or an agency of government was supposed to dispense with. The question that we have to ask is there any corruption that is suspected beyond just the mere fact that someone failed to exercise the necessary due diligence and oversight, especially within the context whereby, as you had mentioned, you have these five council members who are not supposed to be sitting on these panels, but sat on these panels and made decisions.
For now, we have no reason to believe that there was corruption that was taking place. We believe it was sheer negligence, but we are not just leaving it there. There are some other applications where you would find that a person applied for a particular amount, but when the application was considered for approval, an amount higher than the amount applied for was approved, then that should immediately tell you there's a problem here. We need to get deep into that to find out what was the reason behind the approval of the amount that is higher than the amount that was applied for. You may have a reason to believe that there's an underhand business there, but that is still have to be further investigated. So, according to the report, all the amount, 285 million rand, mm-hmm. that was supposed to be dispersed, has been accounted for, with all this its shortcomings and financial mismanagement. But the we are able to tell where did each and every cent go, even those that were irregularly expended. We know exactly where it went. There is no money that has gone missing that cannot be accounted for.
Yeah, because I think that the difficulty that most people would have, and the same that I'm sitting with, and I'm just looking at those numbers and those figures that you had outlined there, and I was following them along, on this particular article. I mean, you pointed to the fact that 285 million was set aside for this, right? 100 million was already allocated for basically pre-existing artists that, needed assistance, and then a further 8,000 artists that were supposed to, or beneficiaries in the cultural and creative industries. This is for new work, to create new work, to the value of 185 million. But then 420 million was committed to. So in other words, you only have a budget of 285 million, but then you're basically spending 428 million, which already puts you in the red immediately. But that's more than
we did not spend 428. We still ended up spending 285 million because.
But I guess what we're getting at here is that then that 428 million was the amount that was committed to that then. And then I guess the reason why you would be investigating it is this is not just a simple accountancy error. Ultimately, it leaves you open to lawsuits. I mean, if I receive a letter from you saying
that
you're going to give me 10 million, I mean, not 10 million, 10,000 rands, I can sue you for 10,000 rands.
You're quite correct. That has already happened.
So how are you dealing with those issues then? I mean, have you reached some settlement with people who... incorrectly got those commitment letters, or is it a case of negotiating as each person comes up?
Currently, we are taking the stance that we are going to negotiate. We know them all, we've got the list of all of them, and in fact, we have even quantified the amount that we may be liable for. But we are now engaging actually with each and every individual. We are considering appointing a service provider. We are mindful of unnecessary expenditure here. We are considering of perhaps appointing a company that would be able to sort of mediate and make us all come to an amicable solution, because we believe that the best way to litigate is to avoid litigation, because the very same amount that should be going to the artist should not be going to lawyers.
No, but for sure.
We are engaging with them. When you're dealing with the public purse, public funds, you must really, really be sensitive, and you must understand that to you, perhaps a person who has been given a responsibility is just a mere figure, but to the artist out there, it's a matter of life and death. So that is the attitude that they're having.
No, for sure. And we've spoken to a couple of people. And in fact, I'll ask them during the open line to call in if there's any artists or any people in the creative industry that have been impacted by this to tell us their stories. Please do so on 011-883-0702, alternatively 021-446-0567. Now, Advocate Nkosi, let's talk about who are these artists, because, the last thing that I would want to happen is someone, for example, sitting and listening to the show, who is not gainfully employed, who's creative and active in the creative industry, thinking to themselves, "But hang on a second, I'm entitled to some of this money, and maybe I should write Mr. Nkosi a letter in the morning to tell him that, listen, I think that you should be paying me." Who are the people? How did they qualify? What was the process for determining who they are and whether they're going to get the necessary assistance?
I came in only in January this year.
Yeah.
I was not there when the terms of reference were prepared and the advert was sent out. But we definitely know that when the advert was sent out, there was a clear indication as to the kind of artists that were being invited to apply, and the evaluation criteria was clearly set out there. So it's I think it's still all on our website. And the names of those that were approved was also published on the website. But what we did not publish for safety reasons was the amounts that were approved. But each and every individual did receive a letter indicating as to what was approved and whether it was approved and for how much was it approved for. And that would not be good for public consumption. We don't want people to know how much did you get. But if you want that, they were giving that information themselves. And if any organization who can prove that he has been mandated by a specific individual needs that information can be made available.
So what I would like to know from you, Mr. Nkosi, is, and I know that, you know, as an advocate, you can't preempt these things, that this is still the subject of inquiry and that there's many things that need to be investigated and understood ultimately when it comes to this whole mess. But what on the face of it, on a prima facie basis, is to blame here? Is it that people were doing this recklessly and with a nonchalant laissez-faire attitude? Is it that people are not capacitated and skilled enough to be doing this type of work? You know, we're constantly hearing about the need for the professionalization of the public sector. What are some of the factors that you are of concern here when it comes to, you know, this whole situation unfolding in the way that it did?
Look, as you have correctly pointed out, we are currently going through a disciplinary process for the CEO and the CFO. And we don't want to give the impression that we have already a predetermined outcome for their processes. I just want to make that clear. But having said so, we are of the view as the NAC that the CEO is the most responsible person in the organization. If the organization has to be resourced, it is his or her responsibility to ensure that people with the right qualification, right skill, and right experience are recruited for that particular purpose, you know. So if there were any maladministration and the irregular expenditure and financial mismanagement, that sits at the door of the CEO. The second person to that is the CFO. You know, if you're a CFO, you must be able to play your role to say, we've got 185 million rand, for this stream and 100 million rand for that stream. Constantly check how much has been approved thus far and how many applications are still left. If you have reached, if you've exhausted the allocation and there are still applications that are being considered, senior management must ask the question, why are we still going ahead when we don't have money for these things, you know? And you'll see on the report that there is an allegation, or there is a finding rather than an allegation now, that the CEO actually informed council that he has been able to source some more funds elsewhere, or maybe from the department. Or the department had promised to give more funds in order to accommodate the over allocation, which when the investigation was done, it was found not to be correct. You know? So to answer your question, we hold the senior management, particularly the CEO and the CFO, responsible for all these challenges that we had to go through.
No, I mean, to be honest, it's already sounds like a mess on that basis because, I mean, we, you know, some of us understand and are privy to this. The money's not just paid out by a low-functioning clerk. You know, you're not just pushing through payments. You're not spending the money as if it's your own. It goes through senior management approval processes, including the CFO as well as the CEO. They need to ultimately sign off on that. And I mean, the basic responsibility of a CFO, at the very minimum, is to make sure that, you know, if we have 285 million to commit to, that we can only commit to 285 million. And all too often, the biggest complaint is that the money was not spent, as opposed to this massive overspending that's, you know, approaching 150 million.
No, that is correct. You see, that has created a lot of problems for us as the ANC, and not only us, also the department and the minister as well.
I mean, talking about that, since we, you know, you mentioned the executive authority, in this instance, the minister, I believe and understand that we will actually be speaking to the spokesperson. I'll tell you now. We'll be speaking to, the spokesperson on this very same issue of the MEC on this particular issue. I mean, to what extent should they be held to account, to explain to us what had happened in this particular instance? Or, you know, are their hands completely clean? And unfortunately, it's their functionaries that quite frankly, stuffed this up.
Look, as far as we're concerned, their hands are completely clean because we're an entity which is independent from DSEC. We are their entity, but we are an independent entity, completely independent from them. So all that the minister does is to appoint councillors or a board for this entity to run the entity. We take the full responsibility of the NAC of all what has happened here, and we have accepted the report, the findings, as well as the recommendations. That is why we're implementing the recommendations as they are in the report.
No, I mean, I'm happy to hear, and especially as you had pointed out, stepping into this very difficult position as a new council member, I'm pretty sure it's not nice having to clean someone else's dirty laundry.
It was not easy, not at all.
But as I said, so how does this extend? Is this at a national level? Is this only at a provincial level? How far does this reach? How many, you know, who are the people that have been impacted? I mean, the very same artists who...
No, it's national throughout the country. It has had a national impact throughout the country. It's not confined to a particular province. It's throughout the country. Remember, it affected each and every applicant.
Mm.
Not a particular category of applicant. In fact, except for stream one, stream two, that is where the problem was.
If you can just explain what the streams are.
Oh, stream one is that job retention, the wage subsidy. And then stream two was this the job creation.
Oh, the job creation. Okay.
Yes.
No, I understand you. I mean, it's quite absolutely shocking. So, I mean, going forward in terms of, trying to negotiate and deal with this particular issue, I know that you've highlighted that some of those errant council members that got the 500,000 rands that they weren't entitled to because they went to meetings that they weren't supposed to, and they obviously still bowled for those meetings. You're going to be going through some recovery process to get that money back. That in itself is not all that easy. Taking into account that in all likelihood that money has been spent already between you and I think we're pretty much aware that that's how these things work.
Money is always useful.
Exactly. The money comes in and there's always a need for it, whether it be school fees or a brand new BMW. And then on the other hand, you also then have to deal with, obviously it's the reputational issues linked to this, because I'm sure that there's many people listening and saying, another example of incompetence or whatever else the case may be. I mean, how are you going to deal with this over this period, and how quickly do you want to sort this mess out?
Look, the thing here is this project or this program was not your normal NAC funding.
Mm.
It was a special dispensation. That is one other thing that you should consider. We had to bring in new people on contract so that we can resource sufficiently for these projects to be adequately carried out.
Mm.
Unfortunately, we dropped the ball somewhere along the line because there was lack of oversight. But I think we all agree that management let us down big time here. We have learned a lesson now that in future, should such an opportunity arise again, we need to approach it differently. We need to get very close as council in playing proper oversight on it. Of course, respecting the divide between us as council and also management. But we need to play a very close oversight on it. I believe that management and staff as well has learned from this, so that in future, if you're starting a new project that you don't know much about it, you need to be more diligent in working on it. Of course, there are some areas where you really feel this gross negligence here. And some of them, you gain the impression that there is some ill intentions here.
Hmm.
For instance, why would an application be declined at the initial stage? Then the next thing, it resurfaces at the final stage of approval. It tells you there's a problem. Those are the things that you need to go into and further investigate.
And I guess, Advocate, you touched on the issue. I mean, it makes your job difficult because you need to, as a board member or as the board overall, you need to provide the necessary oversight. But simultaneously, you can't be getting involved in the actual operational stuff as well. I mean, it's not up to you to determine who's going to be hired and fired. So how are you going to ensure that this is a process whereby, next year you and I aren't having a conversation about having a whole bunch of senior managers, and I'm not going to mention which ones, again, so that, the process is independent and fair, but you have a whole bunch of people taking you to the CCMA because they've been unfairly dismissed and you got your fingers involved, even if you seemingly did the right thing, but procedurally you didn't do the right thing. How are you going to ensure that?
Look, we are very clear.
Mm.
All these categories, we are very mindful of them. We are conscious of the fact that we are responsible for the senior management as council. There is actually the CEO,
mm-hmm.
and the CFO. Those that are below them, they are the responsibility of the CEO. We are not going to be interfering. And also, we've appointed an independent presiding officer.
Uh-huh.
And also an independent firm of attorneys to be the initiator or the prosecutors in this matter. As counsel, we are receiving reports, the progress reports from time to time as to what is happening. We are confident that the independent presiding officer will be fair and just in dealing with this matter. Nobody is actually whispering anything into his ear. We want justice to prevail here. That is what we want to see happening. And we believe that the gravity of the misconduct will determine the appropriate, so we'll have to determine the appropriate sanction. That is what we hope for.
Okay. And 100%.
Of course, to the CCMA,
mm-hmm.
we would definitely be going there with the hope that the person who presided and who came to a particular decision and also would have meted out a particular sanction, did it the correct way, and we'll go to the CCMA if that happens, and then the CCMA, of course, would have to consider the matter.
How much is this all costing you? I mean, apart from the time and the inconvenience and all of those other things, I mean, the hard costs, how much is this whole mess costing you at this stage?
You see, when we appointed these external individuals, they gave us their hourly rates.
Hmm.
So, and we look at the number of people involved, and also the extent of the alleged misconduct. Now, because for now it's an alleged misconduct until it is proven at the hearing, we don't believe that it should take us a long time to finalize this, and we can only be able to quantify the total amount at the end of the hearing. For now, we are not able to do so because we can't agree on a specific amount. Nobody can come and say, I'm going to charge you 250,000 rand, and it happens over 3 days. Or you say it's 250,000 rand, and it takes 2 weeks. We can't tell you now exactly how much, but we know the hourly rates that they've given us.
So, I guess for me, Advocate, what I find absolutely stunning about this is that basic arithmetic, knowing that you have 285 million at your disposal, allocated for specific reasons, and that's all that you have to spend. If people just stuck to that particular program, to that very simple instruction, we wouldn't be sitting here, we wouldn't be spending more money and more time and more effort on this type of stuff, which is very disappointing.
That is what is most frustrating. It's basic mathematics. You've got 15 rands, you've got to buy something that is within the budget that you have.
Maybe you should consider my 7-year-old. Recently for the first time the young man had to take money and he brought change home. So maybe you should consider him as CFO.
It's not that bad. No, I don't think so.
His CV will be in your mailbox in the morning. All the best. Thank you so much. And good luck. More importantly.
Thanks so much.
Cheers. That was Advocate Eric Nkosi, council member at the NAC. Wow.